Guys, welcome to The Pulse. Every week we do this, talking to exciting people, making a difference, doing cool things. But today is different because we've got some kind of legends in the game. It's not that often that you get to talk to people who have had a career that just moves through generations and still doing their thing. I'm excited that we are joined by two members of the legendary Jackson family, Marlon Jackson, Tito Jackson. Join us today on The Pulse. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate that.
Nice to talk to you, Bill.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. We were just talking before we got started about, what is it, 50 years in the game? Like, what does that feel like to be able to say we've been doing our thing for 50?
We don't think about that way because we enjoy doing what we do. When we were kids, you know, I started doing this when I was about 8 or 9 years young, and we just enjoy doing music. We enjoy performing. We enjoy doing this. And to say that, wow, it's been 50 years have gone by so quickly, but we do appreciate the fact that the fans are still out there supporting us. So we don't take it for granted. We really appreciate their support.
And it's really nice when you're out on the road, you see a fan that you haven't seen for 20 years or so, and you see them and see how they've grown, and they still enjoy the music, like Marlon said, and excited about what's going on with the Jackson brothers. So I appreciate it too.
You know, it's interesting because both of you started off, and my next question was going to be, are you still enjoying this after doing it for so long? And you both, there was no hesitation. You're doing this because this is fun.
Yes, and the thing about it is, when we were kids, what we didn't realize is that the effect that our music had on people around the world. And I say that, because we were just in Australia about a year and a half ago. And some people came up to us and they started crying to us and saying, what took you all so long to come back? Because we was in Australia in 73 and had not come back until 2014 or something like that. And they were really upset, but they really enjoyed the show and just thanked us for coming back. And we didn't realize, you know, those type of things happen with the music that we, you know, that we've done over the years.
Tito, you're still just having a good time doing it?
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. Not only do I do the brothers' music, but I go out on a blues thing that I love too as well. I just enjoy playing, making music, and watching the smiles on people's face and getting happy and knowing songs and things of that nature.
So what was interesting, and Marlon, we were talking before we kind of came on the actual show. So you guys were in Tunisia, you're doing Canada, I was not aware, like I was aware of all of the success you've had over the years. I wasn't aware you were still doing it like that, still traveling the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do that. News don't get back here, I guess, you know. But.
Yes. I think we've just been blessed. You know, the Lord blessed this family with a musical gift. And we have a brand that's known all around the world. I mean, like I said, we're just in Tunisia. Got to go back to France, go to Canada, then go to Spain and Bulgaria and places like that. I mean, we just left the UK and Monaco and things of that nature. We really appreciate it, and the people appreciate it. And I think the reason why the music has lasted so long because it's family-oriented music. It's music, it's evergreen music that lasts forever. And we have kids in the audience that weren't even born when these songs were out, and they singing all the lyrics and everything. And they tell us where our mom grew up, raised us on you guys' music because they loved it, and now they love it. So it's a great thing to know that.
Is it at all surprising to both of you that, you know, it has, because you were talking about when you're young and you're in the middle of it. I don't know. I've never been in the middle of something like that. But if you're young and in the middle of it, I'd imagine it's hard to kind of soak up the impact it's having in the moment. You know, so is it at all surprising to you that, you know, you're having that kind of response from people, you know, overseas, around the world this many years later?
Tito, go and ask her.
Well, you get to respect it a lot more now that you're older age, because you understand it. When you're kids, you know, you go to a foreign city, for instance, London, you're not really thinking about the fans as much as you're thinking about going to see the Big Ben or Hemsley Palace.
Changing of the guards or something.
Yeah, we were excited about those things because we were learning about it in school. And not only did we read about it in school, but we get to experience it. So you go back to the classroom and share your experience to the kids. And they don't believe you. Next day you come back with the pictures. And then they didn't have the internet and all these things that you trip photography. Quite popular the next day because we got to see the Queen's Palace and Big Ben and all these things.
And the thing about it is that I remember so well when I was in high school, and we went to a private school, and we were studying, you know, British history. And next thing I know, my father tells us that the Queen wants us to come and perform for her. And that's what happened. And I remember Michael and I in the dressing room, and we heard all this noise outside. And we looked out the window, and there were a sea of horses. And all the guys were dressed so red with the gold helmets on. And there was a chariot. And then somebody blew the horn. The Queen has arrived. The red carpet rolled out, and the Queen and the Duke walked out. And after reading about this stuff in school, then you see it firsthand with your own eyes. It was mind-boggling. And it's just a true blessing. And I come to, as I get older, come to realize the real true meaning that the Lord bestowed, the real true meaning of the blessing, the musical blessing the Lord bestowed on his family. It wasn't about, to me, it wasn't about, you know, releasing great music that we've released, that you all call great music. It was about uniting the world together in unity and harmony and peace as one through your music. And that's what we did wherever we went around the world. And as I got older, I understand it now. Mm. That the whole purpose of it is trying to unify the world together as one in harmony and peace. And that's what it's about, because music is very powerful, a universal language.
And during that time when we, what Marlon's speaking of, you know, we've always made it a point to visit the underprivileged children, and they used to love when we came by
hospitals,
sign their autographs, take pictures and things of that nature. So it was a good feeling of giving something back as well.
I remember one time, and this guy was telling me, because he was so excited to meet us, and he said, "You guys don't know what your music did for me." And I'm saying, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Back in those days, they were integrating schools. Black kids and white kids were being integrated to the same school, and we had a lot of problems. It wasn't going well for us at all around the U.S. It wasn't going well." And he said, "The teacher asked us to write some about our favorite group." And he said, "Everybody wrote about the Jackson Five, the white kids, the black kids." And he said, "That's the first time we realized that we had something in common. And we all bonded because we all had something to talk about. We enjoyed the music." And he said, "That changed everything for us. And everything went smooth after that." And you don't realize that your music do these type of things. And that's the power of music. So we don't take it for granted. We appreciate it. We really do appreciate it.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed in doing this show, and I enjoyed doing this show, is that we have the opportunity to speak to people who get to tell their story. You know, and over kind of the course of time, a lot of people have talked about you guys and your family and said a bunch of different things. We don't often get to hear from you. And hearing these stories, you know, about the positivity of what you were experiencing, about, like, I'm curious, and I mean, we have limited amounts of time, so I don't even know if we can do all this, but how do you define growing up Jackson 5?
Well, Tito,
we're going to need a mini series to answer that one, right?
Yeah, well, it's different for us because we don't think about growing up Jackson 5. we thought about growing up, you know, doing music, just having fun and out there and just doing the music and seeing the people enjoy your music. We, like Tito stated earlier, we enjoyed going to the Ronald McDonald houses and visiting the cancer wards at the hospitals, at the kids who couldn't come to see us. So we went to them and the, seeing the smiles on their face. I mean, that did so much for us. We really enjoyed doing those type of things. We still do that today.
Yes.
So the conversations and the things that people say about you never really penetrated to you? Is that kind of what I'm saying? You guys were just living.
Well, there's an old saying that says that they say, you know, long as they're talking about you, then you're always on their mind, regardless of what it is. And we never paid it no mind. We know what we were going to do. We know what we wanted to do, and we know what we wanted to accomplish. And that's what we strive for, and that's what we work toward.
So tell us about you in Philly for years. You've kind of done the touring. I remember, I was young, but I remember the Victory Tour.
Oh, 1984.
Victory Tour. Like these were, and that's kind of what I mean when I talk about the kind of growing up Jackson 5. Like you may not have understood what it was, but you had to understand you're performing in front of 100,000 people. Like what's that like for a kid?
It's powerful. It's powerful to sit down on a stage and ask the audience to do something and they respond to you. It's really, really, really nice just to be able to deliver, like I said, deliver the music that we've recorded to the people and see them enjoy it. It really was. I mean, the Victory Tour was one of the biggest tours, all stadium tour, one of the biggest tours in the world in 1984. I think we played to about 2.9 million people. Mm.
Tito, what was that like?
It was great. You know, you grow up doing places like the Spectrum or the Forum in Los Angeles, so you have large 20,000 plus seating. But when you're doing 100,000 seat, you can imagine four Spectrums at one show. You know, so and you have the people's attention. It's just you feel like you're accomplishing your message, and people enjoying the songs. And when you do songs like "Can You Feel It," you know, and they're just joining it. It feels like a peaceful moment, and the message just getting out and spread. The more people that love that music is becoming peaceful and profitable for your message.
I think one of the reasons why things have gone so well for us throughout the years is that our music have always delivered a positive message. Mm-hmm. It always talked about trying to bring people together. Let me show you the way to go. Written by Gambling Huff, Kenny Gamble, Philly people, and Leon Huff. You know, Can You Feel It? The songs that we sing, you know, Michael's doing these Heal the World. I mean, Tito got a new song called Love One Another. So all those were positive driven message trying to unify the world, because that's the most important thing, you know, because this is for everybody who's listening on your show. When it's time to go, you're not going to be able to take everything that you obtained for yourself. The Lord is going to ask you, what did you do with the power that I blessed you with to help others, to bring others up? And that's important, to instill in people to come together, work together in harmony and peace, and don't do what these world leaders are doing. Soon somebody get upset at somebody, they want to press a button to blow somebody up. What about talking to each other and find out what you have in common? And work from that direction, you know, and work together to build. You'll find that you have more in common than in different.
Tito, you were jumping in.
I agree with that message. You know, like my latest single says, why can't we love each other? Why can't we walk together? Why can't we talk together? Why can't we
simple.
Love each other now? You know,
mm-hmm.
So.
See, people don't understand. Peace, you know, it's very easy to do, but the hardest thing to accomplish, mm-hmm. You know, and it's real simple. It's real, real simple. You know, do to others that you would want somebody to do to you. and you want to, and you want everything to go right for you and be well for you, but same thing with other people.
You guys share a very positive story about your experiences and the things that you've done and the impact that you've had in music and how you're received traveling and what have you. Do you feel like you and your family have been fairly represented? Do people know what it's really been like?
No.
People don't know what it's really been like. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. We worked very hard as kids before Motown. My father, you know, is the one that constantly, because, you know, as a kid, you can tell your parents, I want to do this. And when you start doing it, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks later, you can, I don't know. But my father made sure we stayed, you know, on course and on track and focus. And, you know, after Tito showed him he can play the guitar and got disciplined, then he went out and started buying more instruments. And we were traveling around Gary, Indiana, and Wisconsin, and Illinois, and coming down to Philly. We did the in Chicago High Chaparral, the Spectrum in Philly. What's the theater in Philly?
Uptown. That we used to?
Yeah, Uptown Theater in Philly. These are back in the days, and before you know it, people started hearing this name Jackson Five, and then Motown got wind of us and. From that, it just kept going.
Tito, you were jumping in when I said, do people know the real story?
No, they don't know the real story, especially with all the negative that has gone around. That's been well twisted, and I just wish they had been there part of it before they say anything. You know, people will say anything when you're on top. Everybody loves to start when he's on the top, but nobody comes around when he starts to drop. You know, it seems like sometimes the media and the press builds you up to tear you down, and we experienced all those type of things. But the main issue, like Marla stated, is to spread your music and your love and what you mean and what you're all about, and roll with it, because nothing beats happiness and your accomplishments. And this seems like we've accomplished the things that we set out to do and still accomplishing them. So that's what matters to me, to go to these foreign countries to see old fans and new fans and let them enjoy the music. That's what it's all about, really.
I just want to add one thing to you. I think we as people, what we forget is that the Lord created us all equal, and we weren't put on this earth to judge one another. We were put here to love one another and help one another. But we now get caught up because we think that controversy sells. But what about all the great things that these celebrities and other people do that never get recognized because all this controversial stuff gets in the way? Let's talk about all the great things that people do. And all the, you know, because people do a lot of great things that never gets publicly known or broadcast. And that's important, to let people know that there are great people out there in the world who's doing great things, as well as all this negative stuff that's being projected to our youth and everything.
So you guys, you continue to tour. I was telling you before we came on that I was looking at a video of a compilation of the last couple tours that you've been doing and doing them all over the world. And it looked like it could have been any year, you know, between when you started up until now. You're still up there performing all the songs we know. You're still up there kind of doing the dance moves. Like, walk us through what a performance is like with you guys now.
From calendar, NBC 1010 AM Pacific Standard Time, semicolon Zoom with Jackie, Marlon, and Tito.
I'm sorry, I had a recording going in my ear for my other interview that's coming up.
No problem at all. Walk us through what a show looks like with the Jacksons these days.
You know, we've been blessed to have a bunch of hit records that you all out there made hit records. So we try to cover all the hit records, and we try to bring the audience in with us and have a Jackson party on stage. That's all it's about, just having fun on stage. Let the people know that, hey, we do appreciate, you know, your support over all these years. And so now it's time to celebrate. Let's have a great time and party and enjoy ourselves on stage. And that's what we do.
Do you think that one of the things that I saw in watching the performance is that you're going ahead and performing all of those songs. And obviously when you lose such a major part, the lead singer and lead in quotes, that right. has a huge impact to both the group and to your family. But you guys you're carrying on. Yeah. I mean this in the most respectful way possible. There's other people who can sing.
Yes.
Well, my father always said to us, you know, one monkey don't stop a show. So,
so we had the experience going and performing with a member of the group, Jackie. Of course, he wasn't the lead singer, and Randy at times, you know, or another, then Jermaine left the group at a time. So, and we carried on. The day that we found out Jermaine wasn't going to perform with us, we were all in the limousine headed for Mexico. And we didn't, that was, not only did we lose a singer at that time, but we also lost the bass player, you know, so. And, but we went up there, you know, and we hired a guy. Yeah, we threw some charts in front of him and we did our show. So like that, just because one is sick or he doesn't want to perform anymore, what have you. You know, that doesn't stop it.
I remember songs. Right. I remember Michael saying when that happened, I remember so well, Michael saying, let's go out there and hurt him. And that show, we got 3 standing ovations. Cause somehow when you have a missing link, you kind of put more energy into it or try to make up for that. And I guess that's what we did without realizing it. And the people still enjoyed everything.
You guys, I can see it between you two. Obviously, I just, you know, met you as we got started. But it sounds like you guys, and I, again, this is one of those things, Tito, you touched on, the public generally doesn't know. Are you guys close? No. Were you close, or were one of those stage families that comes together to perform, but behind the scenes, not so much?
No, we're very close, and we have children that play together, and we visit each other. We have our Jackson family day and our gatherings, and we make sure that we keep all that going. And as you know, my mother's up and senior age, so we make sure that she still enjoy our family and gets to see it. So we have to stay together.
Well, I'm gonna put it real simple. If you want to know how close we are, try messing with one of us.
Okay.
And I leave it like that.
Well, but you know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tito.
No, we're a lot closer than some of the media try to make it seem like. And if they hear a negative story, they run with it. Boy, do they run with it. And it may not even be close to true. You know, so we have to weed through all that and continue down the journey.
You know, Marlon, you said you want to find out how close you guys are, mess with one of us. But at the same time, people have, you know, people have said things, people have put things out there. Was it ever hard through that process? Because you can't fight every battle. You know, so you're watching things being said that may not necessarily be true, but they're still being said.
Well, that happens. That just happens. That's part of the business, and you learn to deal with it, and you learn how to navigate around it. But in your heart, you know what's true and what's not true, and the Lord knows what's true and what's not true. And to me, that's the most important thing of all.
Yeah, that media pen is very convincing and very strong, but it's not actual all the time. So once you realize that, you have to go out and stand up for what you know and believe, you know. For instance, like, what was it, 10, 13 years, FBI investigating my brother, didn't find anything. You didn't know that. Then Tom Steadman comes later and try to make something up. You know, it's crazy, you know. So, and he was, he won all the cases, every one of them. And you still would get people behind that, still try to make things true. So we're going to keep on doing.
You know, the bottom line is that it's all about the money. It's all about your bottom line. And they know controversy sells, even if it's true or not true. And, is that once they reach those numbers, then they fade away from it. So it's sad that everything is money driven, but that's the truth.
Plus, Brother Michael was doing things that was unheard of, you know, in show business, especially for young Black men. And a lot of people didn't understand it. So when you don't understand things, the next thing you do is try to hurt it, you know? So that's where we were with that. And it was crazy and mind boggling. But when all you really want to do is your songs and get your message out and across, that's what we concentrated on, and that's what we did, and that's what we believe in.
And that's what you're doing. So you guys come into Philly, actually doing a one night kind of exclusive. It's a charitable event. Tell us why doing something like that is important to you.
This is not the first time that we've done something like this. It's important because, you know, a lot of these charities support different causes, and this is one of those things, helping children, helping this. And if we can come in and help and do something that way, we will do it. You know, for instance, you know, Tito and I and the rest of my brother, we all were part of USA for Africa, where we raised over $100 million for the refugees in Ethiopia. And then I went over to Ethiopia and I sat on the board of directors for USA for Africa, not to just give money, but to give medicine and to help and bring food. And those are the type of things that you do. That's a part of giving back, showing that you do appreciate what people have done for you throughout the world and supporting your music. And this is me giving back to that and helping in another way.
We had so much we could talk about, but I promised I wouldn't keep you. And we're already almost at 30 minutes. So let me go ahead, ask a couple more, and then we'll wrap up. We're going to make sure we put up on screen so everybody can get tickets for that one night event here in Philadelphia, the fundraiser. I want to give each of you a chance to say, as we start to wrap up, you know, we asked if people know everything about you. First, Tito, what should people know about you that they don't?
Well, for a long time, people were, put it this way, I was the last Jackson to do anything in the music as far as solo or putting out a record and that whole thing. So people don't know that I've been recording now for 10 years and I've had two nice songs out, and I perform on my own as a solo artist. And I recently had a song with Kenny Gamble and Leon, Kenny Gamble and Eddie LaVert.
Oh, okay.
On the record. And there's just all types of music and stuff out there. I try to spread the message of love and giving, because it's like we said, it's so important. But what they really don't know about me, I don't know, you know? I just try to be as natural as I possibly can. We can, and I'm a quiet person, but I speak when it's time to be spoken, that's all I have to say. I don't know.
Yeah. They know a lot about.
Well, for myself.
Go ahead, Marlon. Know,
well, I want people to understand that, you know, just we're no different than anybody else. You know, we're all the same. It's just that we've had some hit records and put out some music, but that doesn't make us any different than anybody else. You know, we bleed, we cry, we have feelings just like they do. And and we get hurt just like they do. So it's just that we just had the chance to travel this globe and experience the various cultures the world has to offer, which I think everybody should try to do once they get a chance, because your perspective on the world, on life, will change in a different way. And you will find out that a lot of stuff is not what they really say it is. There's a lot of great people out in the world that want the same thing that you want, and that's harmony and peace. And, you know, and that's what we're about. We're just, we're simple people, you know. we're just like everybody else. I mean, I go to this market, I go pump my gas, I go do everything, you know, so, and I enjoy it. I sure do. And if you don't know who I am, I'm happy with that too. And if you treat me bad, I'm happy with that too. Don't change the way you treat me because you realize who I am. No, because it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, it's just a job for me. That's what, you know, my work is just a job like they have jobs.
We end every episode of The Pulse. The whole point of The Pulse is we try to give people a chance to, in quotes, use their voice for good. So, Marlon, this time I'm going to start with you. You've been wearing this hat the entire interview. Tell us what is Study Peace?
Oh, it's real simple. It's about trying to bring awareness to people, not just domestically, but internationally, about peace. It's time, you know, what the world is doing now, they've been doing this for years and years and centuries and centuries. How about changing the course? Now let's try to look at it from a more peaceful angle and do things. And if I can get people to wear stuff that says Study Peace, like the song that Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff wrote, Man of War, Study Peace, I think people start gravitating subconsciously without even realizing it to a more peaceful environment and want to see people do well. That's the key. You want to see people do well, have a great life, because life is short. We're put here to enjoy and love one another and stop pulling each other down and talking about people.
Tito, you get the last use your voice for good comment. What do you want people to know about using your voice for good? What message do you want to leave them with as we wrap up?
Well, if you have a positive message to spread to the world, such as love and peace and things of that nature, you have to speak out for it, because God gave you that gift to spread the word. And that's what we try to do, spread the word. And this show seems to give that opportunity. And hope the world can come together and wars can stop all this Ukraine stuff and hating each other across the globe, but just because of the color of one's skin or whatever. And once somebody starts out handicapped, you help them, you know, they need help, you know, and that's what we have to realize, that we're here to give service to those who we can help and things of that nature. And that's what it is. That's what it's all about. You feel better about helping somebody do something than hurting them. So I try to help people.
Gentlemen, I thank you for 50 years of performances, of music, of success. We appreciate you coming to Philadelphia. Our national audience can also see you because you're still, you know, still touring, still all around. So thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you spreading the message. I appreciate your years of what you've done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we thank you guys for your support throughout the years and throughout these 50 years and supporting this family, the Jackson 5 Jacksons, all the members. We don't take it for granted. We do thank you all. And I'm going to say this before I leave. This is Marlon Jackson. You're watching Fox 29 News.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you. We'll be in touch soon. Continued success.
I hope I see you when I get to Philly. I hope I see you.
Absolutely. We're going to make that happen. We're doing things with Mr. Gamble. That's my guy.
All right. That's
a mentor.
All right. You tell Gams that we said hello. I'm going to give him a call.
Yeah, drag him out.
All right.
All right. You guys take care. Thank you. Stay safe. Thank you for listening to The Pulse. It was a cool opportunity with two members of a legendary Jackson family to kind of hear both the positives of their experiences that many of us probably have seen and you would expect to hear, but also their brutal reality about some of the things that people have said about the family, the things that people have said that they say are not true, and their desire to actually put things on the record that they say are true. So I absolutely hope you got as much out of it as I did. I want to remind you that if you're ever in Philadelphia and you would like to watch The Pulse, we air on Fox 29 Mondays at 6:30 in the evening. Also nationally, you can watch us also Mondays at 9 p.m. on Fox Soul. always available for download, and you can watch them at your leisure digitally. And make sure you're subscribing to this podcast so you get a notification every Monday when a new episode comes online. We appreciate you. Follow me at BillAFox29. Tell me what you think about everything that's going on with the show. And we will end, as we always do, with a reminder that whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.